This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. For the next few minutes, we're going to talk about a story that was published in yesterday's Los Angeles Times. It told the tale of one of the September the 11th hijackers, Ziad Jarrah. He was on United Airlines Flight 93, which crashed into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Joining us now is one of the reporters, Terry McDermott, who reported this story. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello, how are you?
You tell the story of Ziad Jarrah, and in a way you tell it as a love story.
Well, it was. I mean, these people, in addition to whatever else they were humans. You know, they had relationships, they had complications, they had lives before September 11th. He had a long-standing relationship with a woman he met his first month, actually, in college in Germany, a German woman of Turkish ancestry named Aysel Sengun. Met Ziad Jarrah the first day he moved into his student quarters in a little town in the former East Germany, Greifswald, a miserable little town, dark and dreary. And they, you know, fell in love within weeks and were on and off again companions for the next 5 years.
On and off again as she watched him move from being rather a secular Lebanese Muslim to being a jihadi.
Yeah, Jarrah, there's some quality about Jarrah that made people not believe what they were seeing about him. Aysel was just one of many people who saw Jarrah going down this path and refused to believe it was really him. Every time he moved somewhere, I mean, reconstructing this, the people there would say he changed after he left wherever it was, so that you'll get these serial accounts of him having changed later than when people knew him. So obviously he was changing at the time, and they just didn't. They refused to believe it. I don't know, but that he had a kind of charm that made people want to not believe he did these things.
Well.
Go ahead.
In a way, that, you know, refusal to believe, that colors a lot of the aspects of this story. Not only did she refuse to believe that Ziad Jarrah was headed down this terrible path, but all sorts of people were aware of what he and his colleagues were thinking, to some degree what they may have been up to, and in a way they refused to believe it too.
Yeah, you know, the significance of this story, I mean, it's told as a love story, but the significance is that the Hamburg group, which has previously been described by authorities from the first day as a very secretive, closed-off, compartmentalized cell, was the farthest thing from that. These people, including Jarrah, Muhammad Atta, Marwan al-Shehi, and Ramzi bin Sheva, were extraordinarily public in their expression of their beliefs. But Atta and bin Sheva led study and prayer groups in the mosque. They recruited openly for jihadis. Everybody who knew them knew that these guys were into some bad stuff, and including the authorities. Several of the key members of this group were wiretapped for years prior to September 11th, were monitored by police, by intelligence agencies, both from Germany and abroad, including the United States. The evidence was there that they were trying to do something. Once again, though, nobody ever added it up. I think people refused to believe that they would ever do anything.
You tell the story of one CIA agent. You don't identify him, but you say he raised such a ruckus about this with the German government, insisting they should do something about this, that they threatened to throw him out of the country.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're supposed to behave, right? He became very bothersome in trying to get the Germans to more closely monitor and to try to turn some of these people into informers inside the group. That the Germans became, they told him at one point that he was becoming an embarrassment, and that if he didn't calm down, that he would no longer be welcome.
Where are you getting some of this information, including, for example, the letter that Ziad Jarrah sent to his wife just before he, well, on September the 10th?
We were able to get access to investigative files that included transcriptions of the correspondence, the email correspondence, and the actual physical letter correspondence between Jarrah and ISIL, as well as the interrogations of acquaintances of the hijackers, of other accused, several thousand pages of investigative documents.
And this is all material developed as a result of investigations in Germany?
Some of it from Germany, some of it from elsewhere.
And
we've been working on this, not just this story, but on the 9/11 stuff since 9/11. And we've published several stories, and this is just the latest of them.
And we should hasten to point out that while German authorities didn't do much about this group, neither did American authorities after the actual plotters arrived in this country for their flight training.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. One of the things that you tell us that was new, at least to me, we'd always heard that Mohammed Atta was really the leader of this particular cell, the man, one of the most important driving forces behind the plot.
Yeah, it's a curious thing. You know, from the very beginning, Atta was identified the second or third day, the 12th or 13th, I can't recall which, of September, in part because his baggage didn't make it onto the flight. And that baggage included, among other things, a cell phone with all of its phone book and text messages and everything else in it. It was a treasure trove of information for investigators, so that they had it very quickly. And the fact that it was from him, the fact that he was older than most of the other hijackers, led people to believe that he was commonly described as the mastermind of the plot. I think probably that the plot was never, there was never a plot that existed in Hamburg. The plot came from Afghanistan, from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And Atta was one of the loyal soldiers carrying it out. He's quite good at that, but I think all the evidence indicates he was not nearly the sort of dynamic, creative individual who would have come up with something like this.
And you suspect that it's Mr. Bin al-Shib who's now in custody, and then...
Well, I think that he might have been a key lieutenant, but I don't think he came up with it, no. I think that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed came up with this. One of the misimpressions, I think, is the notion that the 9/11 plot was somehow extraordinarily complex. It's not. You and I could sit down at a PC and log on to Travelocity or Expedia and pick the flights in 15 minutes. What it required was extraordinary patience in order to get these pilots trained, or in order to get pilots in place. But it wasn't complicated. There wasn't much planning that had to be done.
To finish up the love story aspect of this, tell us about the last letter that Ziad sent to his wife.
Well, as has been reported previously, a letter was found sort of mysteriously. I suspect that authorities probably had it for quite some time. But on September 10th, Jarrah mailed a package to ISIL, mailed it from the United States, included flight training manuals, other personal belongings of his, and a letter to her apologizing in a way, but also telling her what he apologized for was misleading her, which he had done, ruthlessly for years. He apologized for that, but he told her to be proud that what he did was what he was supposed to do, and that the victors should never hold their heads down but keep them up. He told her that they would meet again one day in paradise. I don't know.
Terry McDermott.
To this day, seems to think that he's still alive.
Really?
Yeah. The novelist Tim O'Brien wrote, people do terrible things for love. And these people were clearly in love. And she persuaded herself of things that obviously aren't true, and continues to, at least a part of her, to believe them.
Terry McDermott, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Terry McDermott is a correspondent for the Los Angeles Times who's been covering the mechanics of the events on September the 11th. His story on Ziad Jarrah was published in yesterday's edition. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.